الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد. Nice, very nice. Good question. Question is, we recognize four madhabs, Shafi, Hanafi, Hanbali, Maliki. Should I stick to one madhab only? To what extent should I stick to one madhab? This is the question. First and foremost, so let me ask you one question before that. Do we need madhab at all? Supposing somebody says, I don't need any madhab. Is that a valid response? Who's your primary care physician?
A doctor.
Who?
Dr. Barnett.
So you got Dr. Barnett, right? I've got Dr. Sadhusmani. Why do I need a primary care doctor? I am an educated man, right? I'm a professor, for God's sake. I've written 40 books in English, so I know English. So why can't I pick up a book on pharmacology? If I got a headache, I'm going to look up on the internet, pick up a book of pharmacology, diagnose myself, and then I can, prescribe my own medicine. Why can't I do that? I mean, this is ridiculous. You're telling me I'm a primary care physician, I must go to this doctor, I must go to the cardiologist. You're rubbish. I don't need all that. I mean, I'm an educated person. I can study. I can read. You accept this? Do you accept this answer? No. Why? It's not just a matter of reading. It's a matter of technical knowledge in the subject. Now, you might say, well, I have technical knowledge in the subject. My name is Bin Baz. My name is Ibn al-Uthaymeen. My name is Yusuf al-Qardawi, for God's sake. You want me to follow which madhab? So I will say, Ya Sheikh al-Yusuf al-Qardawi. Hafizakallah. May Allah bless you. You don't need to follow any madhab. You follow your own dalil, inshallah. And if you follow a madhab blindly, then you are wrong. Because you are at a level where it is expected that when you say this is right and that is not right, you actually arrive at that ruling and you know all the dalail arriving at that unit. But I am not Yusuf al-Qardawi, I am Yaver Beg. Now what do you say? You say the path of safety for you lies in following a madhab, following an imam, because the imam did all this previous work for you. So when the imam said this is permitted, he is not saying permitted because one day he woke up in the morning and decided, oh, you know what, I think I'm going to permit this. No, he has done all the work related to understanding the permissibility of something and he said, this is permitted, this is the way to do it. So for me, since I'm not an expert, I'm not a technical expert in that subject, like I would do with medicine, just because I can read the language, it makes no difference. There is a technical aspect to it. In the case of making a mistake with medicine, I will end up in the cemetery. In the case of making a mistake in religion, I will end up in the Jahannam, in the hellfire. Now, which one is worse? Cemetery, I will go anyway. But Jahannam, I don't need to go, right? So why do you want to go to Jahannam? So follow an imam. Unless you are at a level of knowledge where you have the right to be able to extract your own rulings, if you are at that level, then you should not follow an imam. You should do your own work, right? Now, having said that, so I say, for example, I follow Imam Shafi Rahmatullah. Very nice. But I find my brother here, Omar, he is praying in the Hanafi way, which means that he is not doing Rafayadain. He is not raising his hands every time for every takbir. He is raising his hand only one time for takbir tahrima, Allahu Akbar, and after that he does not raise his hand. So now what should I do? I should tell him, you are a kafir. I cannot pray behind you. You are murtad, you are out of Islam. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Right? It happens. Of course it happens. That's what I'm saying. This happens. Of course it happens. You know what is haram? This is haram. Doing this is haram. What must I do? I must follow whichever imam I am following. And my brother is following some imam. Alhamdulillah, let him follow. Because he and his imam have the dalil for what he is doing. I and my imam have the dalil for what I am doing. Both of us are right. Alhamdulillah. Can I pray behind him? Of course. Can he pray behind me? Of course. No problem. So follow your imam. Don't criticize somebody else. It's as simple as that. Let the other person follow their imam. Third point, which you asked, how about imam shopping? How about fatwa shopping? Right? This one I like here, so I do that. That one I don't. I like this, I do that. No, that you should not do. Because that is a sign of insincerity with regard to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I began with saying what? Do you want to please Allah or you don't want to please Allah? If you want to please Allah, stick to one thing. Stick to one thing without rigidity, stick to one thing without criticizing other people, stick to one thing without calling somebody bad names, but stick to one thing. Otherwise, you confuse yourself. For example, Imam Shafi rahmatullahi said that if you have wudu, if you even touch your wife, your wudu goes. You have to make wudu again. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that if you touch a woman, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, he took the dalil from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Again, Imam Shafi also is taking dalil. Also from the Quran, also from the Sunnah. But Imam Abu Hanifa took another dalil. He said that if you touch your wife with desire, right, then it's an issue of wudu. But otherwise, if you touch your wife, there's no, wudu will not go. Because Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in a state of wudu, he even kissed Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqah radhiyallahu anha. We know this from the hadith. And he did not go and make wudu again. So now, if you say, well, you know, you make wudu. Now you are Shafi. You make wudu. Unthinkingly, you touch your wife. So now, in the Shafi madhab, your wudu is gone. But you say, no, but you see, Imam Abu Hanifa said wudu doesn't go. So my wudu is okay. So now, do you have wudu or you don't have wudu? You get the point? So this kind of fatwa shopping and this dancing is no good. So stick to one imam, but don't criticize other people. Don't find fault with other people. Don't say, don't talk, you know, division. I can't pray behind this, behind that. No, don't do all that. But stay with one imam. Alhamdulillah. Now, in certain circumstances, if there is a ruling of another imam, which in a special case is useful and beneficial, you can use it. And the simplest example of that is Jama'a Baina Salatain in Qasar when you are traveling. With the Hanafis, there is no Jama'a. There is Qasar, which means that when you are traveling, you can shorten your Salah, but you can't join Zuhr Asr and Maghrib Isha. Imam Abu Hanifa said, if you need to join, pray Zuhr at its last time and pray Asr at its first time. So effectively you're praying two, you're not joining really, because you're praying Zuhr at the time of Zuhr and you're praying Asr at the time of Asr, but you're praying them closer together, but you're delaying your Zuhr and you're praying Asr early. But Imam Shafi and others, they said you can combine the two salawat, meaning that you can pray Zuhr and Asr combined in the time of Zuhr or in the time of Asr, and Maghrib and Isha, you can combine and pray in the time of Maghrib or in the time of Isha while traveling. So now if you are traveling, you are a Hanafi. So according to your madhab, you cannot join the two salawat. But you find that I'm traveling and there is no way that I'm going to get the chance to pray Asr. I prayed Zuhr, but I will not. Now what should you do? No problem. Use the Shafi'i ruling and join the two salah and pray. Inshallah, you're okay. The one thing you must not do whatsoever is to devise your own rulings by reading some hadith somewhere and say, no, but I read the hadith and therefore I will do this. No. Don't do that. As I told you, that's like reading a book of pharmacology and, you know, diagnosing yourself, you'll end up in the cemetery. This stuff you do, you end up in the... And the big reason for that is, again, to help you understand another one. The big reason is, you are a police constable. Think about this. You are a cop. Right? Now, you see a criminal who you know has committed a crime. You have evidence of that. You have proof. If that criminal, you arrest him and you take him to the court, he is going to get sentenced and he will be sentenced to be executed. So he is going to be hanged or he is going to sit in the electric chair. You know this for certain. You got all the evidence and all that, right? So you are a cop. So you decide, well, you know, why all this thing? I have to catch him and take him and court and so on. Simplest thing, pull out your gun, get bang, bang, khalas, finished. Right? So now you get pulled up. You say, well, why did you shoot this man? He said, no, he's not this man. This man is a criminal. Here is all the evidence. If I had taken him to court, the judge would have given him a death sentence. I am saving the state money. I am saving the judge time. I killed him anyway. He would have died anyway. Are you right or wrong? You will hang. Not that man. That man you killed. But who's going to hang? You. Why? Because you overstepped your authority. So even if you were right, you were wrong. You understand, Simon? On the other hand, you are a judge. A case was brought before you. There was evidence for that, right? And in the light of that evidence, you took a judgment. You passed some sentence. Right? You fined the guy $10,000. The guy takes the case to the higher court. The higher court sees the evidence and so on, and the higher court overturns your judgment. The higher court says that this judgment was wrong, that $10,000 fine need not be paid. What will the higher court do? Will the higher court say, no, now this judge, you pay the fine? Will they say that? No. Even though your judgment was wrong, the higher court will not punish the judge. They will overturn the judgment. They will say the judgment was not correct. We overturned the judgment. The man is now free. But the judge is not punished, even though the judge made a mistake. Why? Because he was working within the purview of his authority as a judge. Yes, he made a mistake, but within the purview of his authority. The policeman who just shoots somebody, even though that guy deserved to die, the policeman should get and will get hanged because he is operating outside his authority. So when you take a hadith from somewhere or an ayat from somewhere and you arrive at a conclusion on your own, and you start following it, you are like that policeman because you have no authority to do that. So even if you are right, you are wrong. Whereas if a scholar makes a mistake, Rasulullah said, Allah will give him two rewards. One for trying. Somebody who does not make a mistake, if he tries and gets a correct ruling, gets two rewards. One for trying and one for the right ruling. The one who makes a mistake still gets one reward for trying. Even though his ruling is wrong, but he will still get one reward for trying. But who will get that reward? Somebody who is capable of extracting ruling. Somebody who is a scholar of the level where he or she can extract rulings. It's not just somebody who can just, you know, read a few books and whatnot and hadith from here. No. So that's the answer to that. You can probably do, no, actually 5 minutes from today, Salah is at 10 o'clock. Right, so I think maximum one question, very quick one, otherwise then we finish up today. Anyone has got a quick one? Closing?
What's the meaning of the word batil?
Batil, what is the meaning of the word batil? Batil is false. Batil is something which is false, something which is, it also means something which is, you know, wrong, right? Something which is false, wrong. So, haq and batil. Haq is the truth and batil is the opposite of haq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُقَ. In Surah Al-Isra, Allah said, the truth has come and falsehood has disappeared. It is the nature of falsehood to disappear. Right? أقول قولي هذا استغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك ونشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك اللهم ونتوب إليك جزاكم الله خير والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته